This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
We begin hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds. We are here at South Point Casino in fabulous Las Vegas. And Wes, before we went to break, I asked you if you believed in curses. Now, you know, Al Michaels, do you believe in miracles? Yes. Do you believe in curses? Because some would say that if you are on Hard Knocks, it ain't going to end well. Now, look, last year the Cowboys were the featured team on Hard Knocks. This is, of course, preseason. And they won the most games of any team that had ever been on Hard Knocks, 12. But they did lose in the first round of the postseason to the San Francisco 49ers, did not win a playoff game. It has been announced that the Arizona Cardinals will be this year's team to be featured on the preseason point of Hard Knocks. Because remember, last year, in season, they had this for the very first time, and your Colts were the in-season Hard Knocks team. Now, if you look at this, and we'll date it back to 2012, numbers don't lie. Look at how many teams did not make the playoffs that were on Hard Knocks. Go back to 2012, Dolphins. 2014, Falcons. You got a Rams in 2016. Bucks in Bucks 2017, pre-Tom Brady. 2018, Browns. Not a big surprise. 2019, Raiders. And then the Chargers and Rams, because they did the dual one. Well, okay, at least the Rams got there. And then the Cowboys last year at 12 wins. If you're a Cardinal fan, is this good news or bad news for your football team?
Well, I think there's some other bad news for the Cardinals besides being on Hard Knocks. And I'll add to that, I know it's not on the graphic because it was the first in-season Indianapolis Colts. It obviously did not end very well for the Colts in that regard either. But look, I think what the Colts, and we were talking about that at the end of the hour just over the break, the Colts, I think that late season Hard Knocks is like, hey, they got really good guys. They got, you know, Jim Irsay's kind of kooky and whatnot. So they had some guys that were, I think, likable. But then you looked at how they finished at the end of the season, and maybe it was a distraction because you went down to Jacksonville as two touchdown favorites. And lost. All you had to do was win, and you were going to make the playoffs.
Well, you got wiped out.
Yeah, you did, and it wasn't competitive. No. It wasn't even close. So, I understand why this Hard Knocks. Look, we like it as fans, and we like it as bettors because obviously it's entertaining content. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit different. And look, more often than not, when you see these teams on Hard Knocks, they don't usually go with the absolute elite team. They don't go with the Super Bowl favorite because, number one, the Super Bowl favorite probably doesn't want the distraction where it's like, we don't want to deal with this stuff. You know, we don't want to have to put out this program and worry about it. So it's usually kind of a middle of the pack or maybe an upstart team or a team like on the periphery of doing something good, like in the playoffs. And that's where I think Arizona falls into. But you not only talk about the fact that, you know, the curse that we see in that graphic, but also look at the fact that Kyler Murray not going to be in OTAs and still, I think, wanting to work out a contract and, you know, has been very unhappy. That was a topic leading into the draft. I didn't think anything was going to materialize, and it didn't in terms of a trade. So you have that going on. You have a coach in Cliff Kingsbury. I don't want to say on the hot seat, but certainly not totally secure. I mean, I think
he did get a contract extension, but those sometimes are not really worth it.
Right. That doesn't mean they can't get rid of him and they can't buy you out. And look, Arizona, I think they disappointed toward the end of the season. They started out hot where it's like, okay, maybe this team is for real. And then they did what they do is collapse at the end of the season. And then that first playoff game, of course, against the Rams, they got absolutely wiped out in that Monday night playoff game. But you have that going on. You have DeAndre Hopkins now suspended for 6 games. So now you add Hollywood Brown to that mix. And, you know, can he really replace I don't consider Hollywood Brown necessarily like a number one receiver on the level of DeAndre Hopkins.
No.
But nevertheless, you got to replace that. And, of course, you have characters. A lot of this is about having television characters because Hard Knocks is a television show. So, look, J.J. Watt is like, you know, the sweetheart of Sigma Chi to, like, mainstream media here, basically, because he's so likable and what he did for
TV
Houston.
Friendly.
Yeah, during, like, you know, hurricanes and all that stuff and raised a bunch of money.
Yep.
So, like, J.J. Watt is the type of guy that gets, like, put on, like, the Today Show or The View or Good Morning America, and they kind of fawn over him. Oh, what a nice guy he is. So he's going to certainly be a part of this and really be front and center. But, I wonder with Arizona, because this is a team that I don't know where they're going to go here, because they're kind of in the middle, because I don't think they're good enough to overtake the Rams. I'm not convinced that the 49ers are good enough to overtake the Rams in that division either, even though I think the 49ers are rated ahead of them. Arizona does have Seattle below them, and we know Seattle, I think, is a total rebuild. We don't expect them to win very many games, but this is kind of a big season for Arizona, and they're already off to a shaky start.
And again, just to clarify here, Arizona will be the in-game portion of Hard Knocks, like your Colts were last year, and Detroit will be the preseason focus of Hard Knocks. Now, before we switch the focus to Detroit, you mentioned Arizona, and I did want to point this out. We have news on Matthew Stafford today, too, from the Rams. He might not be able to throw until training camp, and the reason why I bring that up is because Jimmy G, we know his shoulder. He can't throw until possibly July, okay? So all of a sudden, you have the two quarterbacks, and we don't know what's going to happen with Jimmy G, so Trey Lance looks like he's going to be the quarterback. 9.5 wins for Arizona. Feels like you're going to get plus money at that if you think they can get to 10. But the division feels down because I don't know what to expect from San Francisco. You mentioned Seattle. They're in a complete rebuild. And the Rams, okay, you hope Matthew Stafford, you hope everybody comes back just as hungry. No Von Miller there this year. It's going to be an interesting number that they have out there at 9.5.
Well, and keep in mind, Arizona, like the other teams in the NFC West, they got to play the AFC West this season.
Oh, boy.
Look, first 2 weeks, you get Kansas City coming in. Then you got to go to Las Vegas and play the Raiders. You still have a date in Denver remaining. And then you also have the Chargers at home. And, you know,
well, you could be 0-3 on that schedule with the Rams in week 3.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not an easy schedule. I mean, weeks 4 through 6, a little bit more manageable, but it's still 2 games on the road. You got to go to Carolina, and then you have Philadelphia at home in between, who we think is going to be improved. And then you go to Seattle. So this is not a very easy schedule. Mm-mm. There's not a lot of patsies necessarily on the schedule. It's not like they're playing the AFC South or maybe some of the weaker teams in divisions. You don't have a lot of, like, I think 100% lock wins. Just based on their talent, they're going to win a few. But still, you got to go to Minnesota. That's not an easy place to go win. You have Tampa Bay coming in late in the season. You have the Chargers coming in. You got to go to Denver. That's not an easy place to win. So, yeah, you don't have, like, a lot of things where you just put a check mark by them, like, on that graphic, on that schedule. So that's why I think you're seeing this heavily juiced to the under at 9.5.
So my proclivity would be find an alternative line there and get a better number and maybe play it at 8.5 because I'm with you, Wes. I look at this. This could easily be an 8-9 football team in my estimation just at first blush here, but we'll see how the season plays out. But a lot of question marks, as you mentioned. The biting kneecaps are going to be an interesting story. And again, you mentioned it. They don't want to put on teams that, you know, have got the Bill Belichicks. And Dan Campbell's going to be interesting TV.
Yeah,
right?
He's going to be a complete lunatic.
He's
going to
be a nut. And if you know anything about Dan Campbell from his previous stints, even as a tight ends coach or whatever, if you've ever seen him, he's a wild man. So mic'd up at practice, Dan Campbell, I'm going to watch that Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually starting to buy in a little bit. Now, look, I am surprised when I look at the win total. 6.5 for the Lions. So the betting market is anticipating a big bounce from Detroit. Look, they lost in some of the most gut-wrenching ways possible. It was a 66-yard field goal from Justin Tucker last year to beat them.
Doink! Yes.
And it goes in, right, for Baltimore to somehow win that game. Kirk Cousins, KC8, Minnesota pulled off some voodoo to beat Detroit in one of those games as well. Like, you look at some of the ways they lost games last year and you go, man, they got to be better than 3-13-1. Remember, they had the tie at Pittsburgh. But 7 wins? I got to go from 3-7 to play the over? Are we jumping up a little bit too much?
Well, maybe some of that is part and parcel of the fact that they expect Green Bay to kind of come to the pack a little bit. Chicago's obviously still a rebuild there with a new coach and a new general manager. Minnesota, I think, probably the most stable team right now in the division. But it is kind of a big jump. And when I look at their talent, I don't think that they added like a ton of talent. Now, one of the things I think Detroit has done, and you could see by the last couple drafts, they're trying to get better in the trenches. Mm-hmm. And I think the offensive line with Penny Sewell, they have tried to address that. They drafted Aiden Hutchinson, of course, right there out of Michigan. So they are trying to improve at the point of attack on both sides of the ball. And knowing Dan Campbell, and you mentioned his identity, the bite in the kneecaps, they do want to get tougher. And I think that that's
tougher.
Been, yes, I do as well. But you look offensively, are there really any game breakers? I mean, there are decent players, you know, DJ Chark. They have DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams platooning
I'm
in
on
the
Saint
backfield.
Brown.
And St. Brown. They drafted Jamison Williams, who is off that knee injury, mm-hmm. though, and traded up to get him, nevertheless, which was
a surprise.
Little bit of a head-scratcher. I like the Hutchinson pick, and I like the offensive line. I think it's going to get better with Deckard there at left tackle, who's a first-round pick, Penny Sewell on the right side. So I think that offensive line is going to gradually improve. I don't know if Jared Goff is really the long-time solution, but he's their current starting quarterback, mm-hmm. and he is going to be for the interim. So, yeah, this seemed like a lot, I think, in terms of a gap. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have improved, you know, and maybe been 5.5 or even 6. 6.5 looks a little bit rich, but I'm not necessarily rushing to bet the under.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is going to be an interesting team. And, again, they are on the rise. But when you said, you know, Green Bay is supposed to come back to the pack, our producer, Brian Ortega, the look of consternation on his face.
I know. He was kind of pissed at me. That did kind of throw me off.
I saw a vehement head shake. No way. As long as they got 12, they got a chance.
I said the market. I didn't say I think that they're going to, but the market. And, look, we got to see – okay, can Aaron Rodgers kind of do what Tom Brady did in New England for so many years? And the New England
Elevate.
Years where he didn't have Randy Moss,
right.
You know, of course. But where you get kind of like middling receivers and you make them superstars. And, you know, we'll see. Green Bay, I still think, is the rightful favorite. But Minnesota maybe could be coming. New identity there with Kevin O'Connell as the head coach.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins finally getting an offensive coach, I think, is a very good thing for him in a contract year.
I will just say this. I played the over 11 Green Bay, never a sweat last year. I might be taking the under this year.
So here comes another look of consternation our way.
When we come back, let's talk some puck on the Lombardi line right here in VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. The betting splits page, rather, will show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, and now it's updated every 10 minutes so you can see all the changes in the action. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Back alongside Wes Reynolds, I am Dave Ross. And very quickly to that point, Steve Mackinnon, who we're going to have on tomorrow right here in the Lombardi Line, always talks about the importance of the betting splits. Wes, can you just explain to the layman out there why it is so important to know where the money is moving, where the public is betting? Because a lot of times that's not the side you want to be
on. Well, I think, and look, I think you have to kind of take this into context as well when you're looking at betting splits. I don't think you want to overemphasize it necessarily, but typically betting splits will let you know, okay, where the ticket count is and where the money count is. And it's the money that's going to move and not necessarily the tickets. Because the one thing about, like, the ticket count, you don't necessarily know what tickets are what. You don't know if it's big money or if, like, all the tickets are lopsided because you've got all the smaller bettors betting on something like that. So you don't necessarily know what that's going to be. Money count, usually a little bit more of an indicator. And in certain sports, too, like when you think money moves the market, that I think the misnomer is that only sharper money moves the market.
It can be public money.
Public money can absolutely move, especially like on an NFL Sunday where it's really lopsided and whatnot. But looking at the betting percentages, and I think I got a tweet here from a recurring guest here on VSiN, Chris Anook at Las Vegas Chris, and he's like, I don't care what the bet percentages are. I would rather see the list of rejected or limited bets, but they're never going to give us that because we know. We had one of our colleagues deal with the rejected bet here, James Salinas, a few weeks ago on the draft. That clip went viral on VSiN. You could still get it out there on the Twitter machine. Made a certain Mr. Portnoy very mad over there at Barstool. But anyway, I digress. But betting splits, I think you want to use it as a tool, but don't necessarily be like, okay, I got to side with this because the betting splits tell me that. Everything is different. Every game is its own like little unique organism, if you will. So don't necessarily play that across the board. Use it as a tool, not as a crutch.
It's a great advice. And again, that's why you do need to check that out because it is important information that you can use, but you don't need to, as you say, be married to it. Use it as a guide sometimes, or it can be your friend, but you don't need to be married to it all the time. Okay, let's talk some puck because we do have two games on tap tonight in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We talked a little bit about this very quickly with Will Hill in New York, and I thought you posed the question the right way, which is, in New York, Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena.
The Mecca. Did you hear that, JVT? It is the Mecca, Square Garden, right?
I love the Mecca. Is there life back in this series now with the Rangers, the Blue Shirts, getting on the board here? And again, a series really doesn't begin until you win on home ice. And I know Will kind of likes Carolina a little bit, maybe a small lean there. He's rooting for the Blue Shirts. What do you make of this game for tonight?
Yeah, I am on Carolina for the series, and it is 2-1. It's become really a goaltender duel. Now, we would have thought going in, when was Freddie Anderson going to come back for the Hurricanes? He had been so great for them this season, but it's been the journeyman, Antti Raanta. He has been terrific, and he has taken over. He's been really good in this series. But Igor Shesterkin, I think, kind of starting to find his form a little bit.
Yeah.
95.6 save percentage in three games so far. And look, if the Rangers can match that effort, then they're going to take this back to Raleigh 2-2, I think, because that was kind of what happened in the first round with the Rangers, is that Shesterkin, I think, got a lot of the blame. The save percentage was obviously way down from the 95.6 that we're seeing here in the conference semifinals. Mm-hmm. But it was down because the Rangers weren't blocking any pucks and they weren't stopping the Pittsburgh Penguins from going up and down the ice. I actually had the Rangers in the first round series and I got very, very lucky. We always remember our bad beats, but we don't remember our lucky wins. I was very fortunate to get the Blue Shirts home because, look, Sidney Crosby
missed
game six
yep.
with the concussion symptoms. Of course, they had their goaltender. Luis Domingue he was their third goaltender, was basically their goaltender for the full series because Pittsburgh had some injuries at that position. So the Rangers eventually got home. I think Carolina is the better team. They're pretty even when you look at even strength, the 5-on-5. But Carolina is such a good defensive team, and they just grind you down. And I'll be interested to see if they are going to get the Tampa Bay Lightning. And by the way, like I said, I've got good series equity here. I do not have it in the Florida series because I lost that series Tampa Bay swept the Florida Panthers last night. And you know what? You ever make a bet, Dave, and I'm sure we all do this as bettors. I don't care how long you've been doing this. Where you make a bet, and then after the result, you're like, oh, that makes sense. Not becoming prisoner of the moment, and you make a bet, and you feel really stupid about it.
No doubt.
The Florida Panthers series is something I feel very stupid about. And look, they only scored 3 goals in 4 games. I mean, you're not going to win a series.
No.
But nevertheless, the Tampa Bay Lightning, by the way, have won 10 straight playoff series. How do you that's very tough to fade here. And look, I think if they get – number one, if they get the Rangers, they're going to be big favorites. But even over Carolina, they may be small favorites here. That might be, if Carolina advances, that might be where I look to go against the Lightning, because now all of a sudden you're an underdog, and then you have that role reversal, that flip of favorites, and you become the favorite. But nevertheless, Carolina is going to have to take care of business against the Rangers, and Rangers got the win, and I think the home crowd in the Garden absolutely made a difference for these guys because they looked a little lifeless early on.
No doubt, and before we move on to the Western Conference, I do want to stay right there with Tampa Bay because now they're the second betting favorite to hoist the cup for a third year in a row. I'm seeing market-wide about plus 250, plus 260 out there. Colorado is still now the smallest favorite, a little bit plus money, about plus $1.35. And you can understand why, because Colorado right now, the blue nut right now is 80-1 to come back, not only win that series, but still win
and
the cup.
And Jordan Binnington, by the way, looks like he's out for the rest of the series for St. Louis. Colorado, actually, and they've been down. They've given up the first goal, I believe, in 4 straight games. St. Louis got aboard 1-0. Mm-hmm. They led after the first period. Then all of a sudden, in about 3 or 4 minutes, it was 3-1. You look away, and then you flip back to the channel. It's like, how the hell are they down 3-1? And then Colorado took it over. Now St. Louis pulled within one, and then Colorado got the goal in the third period and then the late empty netter to make it 6-3. But, yeah, they just overwhelm St. Louis with talent. And then you wonder how long the Flames and the Oilers are going to go. Are they going to beat each other up? Battle of Alberta, by the way, game 4 tonight. Oilers now at the 2-1 lead.
So there we go. And I look at those futures markets there, and I go, okay, I can understand why the Blues, obviously the blue note, 80-1, down 3-1. Rangers 20-1. And yes, your point about if they did come back and beat Carolina, they'd still be a sizable underdog to Tampa Bay in the Eastern Conference Finals. Is there any value in that number for Tampa Bay for you, knowing that they're in the finals? They're probably rooting for the Blue Shirts to make this at least a 7-game series, make this a knockdown, drag-out affair to have a quote-unquote easier pathway to the finals.
Yeah, it's a little bit low for me. I don't know if it's necessary. And that doesn't mean low prices can't have value.
Right.
But look, I think Carolina, if they can get out of this series and take care of business against the Blue Shirts, I would like them a little bit as an underdog in this series over the Tampa Bay Lightning, because Carolina is just one of those teams. It's kind of like old school hockey in a new school hockey environment, because we've seen all these goals and all these defensemen that take chances and get out of their zone and just a little bit more wide open style of hockey. But I think Carolina is one of those teams that played very disciplined, and another team that plays very disciplined is the Tampa Bay Lightning. I got to give them credit because they can kind of overwhelm you a little bit with the talent. But one of the things that I think that we're losing spot of is, yes, Andrei Vasilevsky has been
freaking
tremendous. He could be, you know, the MVP of the playoffs, absolutely. But if you've watched that Tampa Bay and Florida series, Tampa Bay was bringing the pressure really the whole time. And one of the things that they were doing, and that's what they call it, you'll see like Eddie Olczyk, and you'll hear a lot of the NHL commentators say, pay the price. And Tampa Bay absolutely pays the price.
No doubt.
They block shots. They block. They lead the playoffs, I believe, in block shots, and had 18 more last night. And yeah, Vasilevsky, look, he's making a lot of the saves and, you know, not letting anything behind him. But when you've got a defense that is willing to do that, and I think that's just a sign of a championship veteran team. They know what they have to do, you know, to get this going. They can't just rely on Stamkos and, you know, and all these guys
right.
to score goals all the time. So they have to be able to rely on their defense a little bit and help their goaltender out. And that's what you've seen. Like, Stamkos hasn't even been his usual self in the playoffs. Kucherov's been very good. But I think it's been Colton that was actually their leading scorer here for goals with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So they're more than just a couple of the featured guys. Palat got on the board last night. Pat Maroon got on the board. So they've got so many guys that can beat you. So they're going to be the favorite no matter who they play in the Eastern Conference Finals.
And they had two goals disallowed.
Yeah.
And John Cooper just threw a tantrum. He actually smiled at one point, and I think he actually went, "I don't believe it."
Yeah.
I was like, my God, they're going to have to fine him for that outburst. Mm-hmm. He's just so calm, cool, and collected all the time.
You're not allowed to have outbursts. You're not allowed to have passion in playoff series. You're not allowed to have any hatred. We've all just got to, you know, change jerseys and post for selfies at the end of these playoff games. And it's like, we can't have any heat.
But all kidding aside, he is the perfect. He's emblematic of that team. They don't get flustered. And he, even when breaks go against him with those goals being disallowed, just cool as a cucumber. And what do they do? Win, 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 win. That's what Tampa Bay does as they move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more Major League Baseball and some trends that we're seeing out there. Maybe they can apply to some of the games today. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The VSiN Summer Special is here. For only $39, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. The next few months are going to be filled with the best betting content in the biz right here at VSiN.com. And subscribers are going to have access to all of it, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets. Jonathan Von Tobel is going to have best bets all the way through the NBA Finals. Andy McNeil is going to break down all the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup Finals. Going to have lots of NFL preseason. Yeah, NFL is just around the corner. Not to mention continued best bets, premium articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. So if you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost is only $39 to be a subscriber through July 31st. So sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. Back alongside Wes Reynolds, I am Dave Ross. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN. We talked about the PGA Championship earlier in the program. You had Justin Thomas, I believe, 17-1. Cash that ticket, Wes Reynolds.
Check mark.
On fire. You know, it was interesting. So I was listening to the guys on the Golf Channel, Paul McGinley and Brandel Chambly and company. And Paul McGinley threw something out. Now, you remember, you know this. He's a former Ryder Cup captain for Europe.
Yeah.
He said what he'd like to see happen at the PGA Championship, because you can't do it with Augusta National, and you can't do it with the United States Open or the Open Championship, which is the British Open to us. But he says you could take the PGA Championship on the run. You could take it on the move, and you could put it overseas. You could put it, say, in Australia. You could put it in Europe. Would you like – now, right now it's PGA Tour. It's of America, right? But there are PGA touring pros and coaches all across the globe. So the PGA Championship does feel like the one – that would be able to be mobile. Wes Reynolds, would you like to see, because by the way, the last seven champions of the PGA Championship, all American.
Mm-hmm.
Americans have dominated now. Do you think it'd be more fair to the Euros, to the Aussies, to everybody else out there to take this championship and put it on the move?
Honestly, no. And look, I am pro international golf. And look, I wish guys would play a little bit more, you know, and go kind of across the pond. We see so many European and international players that play on the PGA Tour. Many of them have residences in the United States. And we don't often see as many Americans go play on the DP World Tour, which is the old European Tour. I'm still not used to calling it the DP World Tour.
I know, it's an odd name.
But I think the fact of the matter is, and a lot of this might be predicated on the fact that you have this LIV Golf that is funded by the Public Investment Fund, which we know is funded by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. We don't need to go into the human rights record and all of that.
It's not good, though.
No, it's not. There are some nefarious characters, at least from the money behind this, that Greg Norman is kind of functioning as like the figurehead or the ex officio commissioner. And I think maybe part of Paul McGinley's take there comes from the fact that there's a little bit of a threat And I think it's maybe more of a threat to the DP World Tour. Look, if the top guys aren't going to leave the PGA Tour, the Justin Thomases, the Rory McIlroys, the Scottie Schefflers, Dustin Johnson, Rahm, they've all come out and said, we're committed to the PGA Tour. This is where we are going to be into, and a lesser extent, the DP World Tour. But I think that they're the tour that's a little bit under threat right now, because one of the reasons why is because the prize money hadn't gone up. And I was reading a column, I'm not sure if it was Golf Digest or golf.com, and it was anonymous players kind of speaking a little bit like, the prize money here is like the same as it was 15 years ago. And that's something that the DP World Tour has got to deal with. I think what eventually is going to happen is PGA Tour is going to buy the DP World Tour.
Okay.
And they're going to operate it as a separate tour, but get some more money. Get some more sponsorship. Get some, you know, maybe improve the TV package or do something to get more revenue and just some more cash flow flowing in that tour as a way to kind of counteract this new potential Saudi-backed LIV Golf Tour. But I love international play, but they do already have the President's Cup and the Ryder Cups as international, and you have one major, of course, the Open Championship. So I understand where Paul McGinley is coming from, but I would not be with that.
I can tell you, that's a very interesting take that you have. And I had not done the correlation like you just did with the LIV Tour. But I think you're exactly spot on. That maybe where, and I don't know if that's exactly where Paul McGinley was coming from, but I think there are some tentacles there. Yeah. That look, the PGA Tour, and I know there's been a lot of consternation because Phil Mickelson wasn't there to defend his crown, and we know the reasons why. And it's all tied to this LIV Tour. Ricky Fowler, by the way, was asked about this before right there at Southern Hills this week in Tulsa, and he said, I haven't made up my mind yet.
Right.
And I think that rubs some people the wrong way.
Look, and we talked about it with Rex Hoggard. There is a lot of money. There's a lot of promised prize money. This event that's supposed to be happening in London in the second week of June, the week before the U.S. Open, like a $25 million prize pool. They're not close to that on the DP World Tour. And that's why I do think McGinley was coming from that, because McGinley, of course, you mentioned Ryder Cup captain. Well, the Ryder Cup, at least on the European side, is overseen by the European, now DP World Tour. So obviously he is going to have a loyalty to that tour over this new LIV Tour.
Sure, no question about it. So these are the type of discussions that are happening now in the game of golf. And I do think they all stem, to your point, from the LIV Tour. And that's why you start throwing out these other options. Because, like, at first blush, I think that sounds pretty cool to me.
Yeah.
That if you took it on the road every 5 years, the PGA Championship away from the United States to somewhere else, and maybe that kind of gets that global golf, build the game, grow the game type feel. And, but that is a good point.
And from a betting perspective, too, look, I haven't asked around to the bookmakers. I'm assuming they're going to go ahead and put this LIV Tour up, even though it's going to be a smaller field.
That's going to draw interest.
Yeah, they're going to put it up. Look, if it's available to bet, they will go ahead and put it up. I mean, you have some people, not so much here in Las Vegas because the handle would be so small, but in some of these sports books in multiple states, you'll have even the Korn Ferry Tour up, and especially some of the offshore, you know, faraway place type of books. You'll have the Korn Ferry up. You'll have the Champions Tour up. You'll have the LPGA. So I'm sure the LIV Tour is going to be booked here, not only in Las Vegas, but across the country.
Let's stay a little bit off the beaten path, because I love these type of discussions. And I'm sure you've had this happen, Wes, to you so many different times, where somebody's like, hey, Wes, can you go ahead and I'll Venmo you $20. Can you put in this wager for me, sir, since you're in the great state of Nevada? Where do you stand on that? Because I've had some people do that, and some of my buddies, and then they'll Venmo me the money if they lose, what have you. But then you might get in those dicey situations like, man, I'm not the bookmaker. I don't want to take all the action, but different states across the country, you can do things in certain states that you can't in others. Where do you stand on that, where somebody be like, hey, Wes, you place this for me?
I get asked that all the time, to be honest with you, especially from folks that don't have betting in their jurisdictions.
So you understand,
like,
right?
Hey, can you bet? And it's usually like a future. It's usually like a Super Bowl future. Hey, you know, put $50 or $100 on this golfer to win the Masters or the U.S. Open, or, you know, somebody wants to bet like a college basketball future and whatnot. So that's what I usually get. So, look, I'm willing to do that. And look, it depends on the amount of number, but just on the basis of a culture, I am a proponent of tipping culture.
Oh.
I don't care how much it is. I don't care if it's a $50 bet or a $500 bet or $5,000 or $50,000. You do tip. I think that you tip your ticket writer. And I know some people are like, well, all they did, I gave them the information. All they did was print out the ticket. You know, this is a service business out here in Las Vegas, guys. And these riders, that is a very thankless job, especially if you're doing it at the counter with a ticket rider. Being a ticket rider can be a very thankless job. And you work a lot of long hours, especially like on big event weekends, like Super Bowl weekend, sure, or the NCAA tournament or something like that, or any NFL weekend for that matter. And you're working long hours. You're working weekends, Saturday, Sunday. You're working back-to-back 10, 12-plus hour shifts. You absolutely tip them. So, yeah, I would tip somebody if, you know, if they took the time to place the bet for me. It depends on how big it is. You know, obviously, if it's only $100, or maybe they buy you a beer or something, and that pretty much covers it. But, yeah, I think you absolutely should tip. If you're taking the time to place a bet for somebody, they should absolutely give you a little something, something.
I hope you're listening, America. So anytime you ask us to place one, we win it for you. Go ahead and throw us a little something, something. Hey, but it is nice because we saw that this week where we had a couple people tweet at us and say, I want to buy you guys a beer next time for the information we gave out on Justin Thomas. As we kept saying, he was a viable play, 20-1, maybe to get back in there. And some people did hop in there, and now they're kind of nothing. They're like, hey, we want to buy you a beer next time we're at Circa. So do those niceties, if you will,
absolutely,
for the people out there.
Absolutely, and that's one thing that will set me off, and I don't get set off by much. But when I see people not getting tipped, it's like, what are you doing here? You always tip, especially here in Las Vegas, and you're expected to do so because they're providing you services.
No doubt.
So, you know, you absolutely, I always say, tip your ticket riders. I don't care if you won $20, leave $1 or leave $2. I'm not asking you to leave 30-40% of what you won here, but, you know, like if you bet 110 to win 100 and you win $100, leave the juice, leave the $10 for the ticket riders.
That is very good. And again, good karma, I think, too. Because, you know, we talk about superstition and gambling all the time, right? So, like, I don't know if you believe in mushes or if you want to fade people that are ice cold, but sometimes karma does come around. So we're not saying that's the way you're going to win or lose your wagers.
Be very careful doing that, though. I mean, do your own handicapping. I mean, sometimes you could play a little bit of handicap the handicapper if somebody's good. You know, listen to everyone, but follow no one is what a wise man once told me. So don't try to do that too much in terms of, okay, this guy's cold, so I could fade him because he's one day away from all of a sudden burning you and getting hot.
Right.
So you'll
be,
never know.
The day I went against him, he goes 5-0.
Yes.
So, again, do your own handicapping, too. Use all the information to make your best determinations. Great advice from Wes Reynolds. All right, when we come back, we will talk a little bit more about the NBA. We do have a game on tap. Could be a closeout scenario. Come on back. The Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you're going to earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? Well, come on out. Convert those BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resort properties located in the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. So sign up today with BetMGM or log on to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Back alongside Wes Reynolds, I am Dave Ross. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN. And we do have a possible closeout scenario tonight in the NBA. We talked about it a little bit off the top of the show. It has not exactly been the, shall we say, the most drama-filled NBA playoffs to date. 3-0 with Dallas trailing. And we mentioned they're 30-1, Wes, to come back and win this thing. Nobody in the history of the NBA playoffs has come back from an 0-3 deficit. So before you see that number, remember, history is not on your side. Does Golden State close it out tonight, or would he at least get a game five back in the Bay?
I tend to think so, but I'm probably not going to bet the side here because, look, when you still got a star like Luka Doncic, even though his 40 was not good enough on Sunday, he's capable of at least carrying them to one game. So I know, you know, if I had to, and I still may decide to do so later in the afternoon, and I'll post some plays usually on our best bets page at VSiN.com. We post that throughout the afternoon. I know the morning email comes out for the overnight shows and the morning shows, and then obviously the afternoon programming on this network. That's where you want to check for those plays from The Edge and from Betting Across America and My Guys and Danny Burke's Rush Hour Show, et cetera, et cetera. So check that out at VSiN.com if you are a member. And just looking at this right now, I would lean a little bit to Golden State. I just think that maybe they learn from that Memphis game where it's kind of like, you know, the term, what is it, F around and found out?
Yeah.
And that's what they did, and Memphis absolutely destroyed them in that game. It's like, oh, my God, what is going on here? But Golden State, I just think that this is a tougher matchup for Dallas because, look, Luka cannot hunt, like I was saying earlier, he cannot hunt for those pick-and-roll mismatches necessarily here because you don't see the Warriors. They'll switch a little bit, but they won't switch all the time like Phoenix did in that first series, in that first round series, or the second round series, I should say. So Golden State, they have guys that are capable of manning up, even though they have a couple guys that individually are not the best defenders. Like, I don't think anybody would say Steph Curry is necessarily the best defender.
Right.
He is not, nor is necessarily Klay Thompson or Jordan Poole. But they play with such a team concept, and Draymond really is the linchpin.
Boy, he is.
I think of that defense. And, you know, when you play with an elite defender like that, it makes you a better team defender. Maybe not necessarily, okay, well, I'm just going to check this guy the whole game and I'm going to be able to get stops. They're not going to be able to do that. But, you know, you see what I think Dallas is trying to do, and it's really been Steph Curry, I think, has kind of been the MVP for the Warriors this series. 28 points, 8 rebounds, 6.7 assists, 48% from the floor from three-point range in this series. And he's able to get the ball out of his hands because what you see Dallas try to do, they try to blitz screens or they try to double team him. Well, that's going to leave Poole open, or that's going to leave Klay open, or that's going to leave Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins,
he's been great.
I talk about Draymond being the linchpin of this team, but Andrew Wiggins, when he goes off, they're the best team in the league.
No question.
I don't want to say impossible to beat because that's not the case, but they're really tough to beat when Wiggins, and maybe he does it about every couple games, where Andrew Wiggins kind of reminds you, like, why did Minnesota give – they just, like, gave him away to Golden State.
Number one pick in the draft.
And Andrew Wiggins is not sweating that because he looks like he may have a very good chance at a ring here. So, look, 250 was the opening price, by the way, in this series. So you could tell by that price that Dallas was getting respect going in. But they've been outmatched, really, in three of these series. So – you haven't seen like a huge adjustment because it's tough to make big adjustments in the series. But if this line is Dallas minus one here, so it would be like Golden State minus seven at home, which is just a half point adjustment from where we were in games one and games number two out in San Francisco. So I lean Golden State, but what I may end up doing is going with the over here. And I know conventional wisdom in a closeout game is to say, okay, go with the under here because it's going to be tight. They're going to be afraid not to make a mistake. But, you know, that might be when the series is tied 3-3. This is 3-0 here. So, look, Dallas has got to go. I mean, they got to do what they do, and they got to shoot a lot of threes because they're not a team that's going to score at the rim with very much proficiency. So that's what they got to do. And obviously, if they make them, this is going to soar over the total.
You know, it's interesting, too. We talked about this in the futures market in the NHL. How about this for the NBA? So now the Warriors are the betting favorite to win the Larry O'Brien trophy here. And that is minus, I've seen about $1.55 market wide. The C's are the second betting favorite, about plus 230. Can you understand why? 2-2 death match right now with Miami. But how about this? The Heat right now, you can get them over $5, about plus 550 is what I'm seeing market-wide to win the NBA championship. And the Mavs, we mentioned 30-1 just to win the series, 60-1 to win the title, obviously being down 0-3. What do you make of the way that the markets are adjusting for the other two in the East and now Golden State, for all intents and purposes, in the finals?
Yeah, at this point, with only four teams, I'm not likely to bet any of those. Obviously, if you're looking at a price, Miami at around $5, because Miami does, if this goes game seven, you do get game seven at home,
right,
being the number one seed in the East. So that would be the one. Look, no interest in Dallas. They're not winning four games. No. So I think that's just burning your money here. So Golden State, I think the absolute rightful favorite to go ahead and get the Larry O'Brien trophy, obviously in very good position. I'm interested to see if they come out with a sense of urgency, though, that they didn't have. And that's why I did kind of like the over, because I think they're going to want to close these down. But I think when you got a 3-0 lead and you kind of know that, do you get a little bit lax defensively? Mm-hmm. Like, the offense is going to be there and it's going to stay consistent, but do you get a little bit of lax where it's like, hey, we just got more dudes than they got. We got more talent up and down the roster. You got Luka playing with a bunch of second round picks, essentially, like JJ Redick was saying yesterday. So we can just out talent, out shoot, and out score these guys. So maybe I think we're going to get some more points than we expect tonight.
It is amazing, too, because, again, we were hearing that if the Celtics came through, they might be the favorites, a small favorite, over Golden State. But right now, Golden State is the favorite because we don't know who's going to come out of the East. I'd be surprised that it wasn't around maybe a pick'em. Maybe Boston would be a slight favorite if it is, in fact, Boston and Golden State, as you look ahead to possibly trying to get the best of the number. But I'm with you. The only way that I would play that right now would be Miami, if you really wanted to get the best of the number over $5 right now, if you think they can really get by Boston, which I do if they were healthy, but they are not.
No, I don't think so. And look, I like my Celtics position at plus 120. I've got a little small piece of an Eastern Conference future, so not doing anything to get off that at this stand.
No, if they were a healthy ball club, that'd be a different story here, but they just right now look like the walking wounded. Very quickly, in the final couple minutes we have, Wes, I just wonder if there's any games in Major League Baseball that catch your eye. One that caught mine a little bit, we talked about the White Sox a little bit and how, boy, there's just not been a solid play. Lucas Giolito goes to the bump today, and they are solid favorites over the Boston Red Sox, which are finally showing some signs of life. Rich Hill on the bump today for the Sox of the Red.
It's actually Dylan Cease.
Oh, Dylan Cease is going to be going.
Yeah, Dylan Cease and Nick Pivetta are the matchup tonight, at least unless we've had a pitching change.
Okay.
But, yeah, looking at this here, look, Boston Red Sox have been disappointing, but they've gotten back to within three under 500. So Nick Pivetta so far 2-4 on the season, a little bit better on the xFIP, about a half run better at 370, and then Dylan Cease about the same. So initial first glance here, I have not bet this. It is down to 7.5. I'd prefer 8, but I do agree with the move to the under. I think you've got some positive regression for both of these teams, or at least both of these pitchers, per se.
You know, when you bet the Dodgers, the best way to bet the Dodgers has been money line, right? Or excuse me, run line. Give up the run and a half, because when they win, they normally win big like they did yesterday against the boys in D.C. Same scenario here. We got to lay a little bit more. Look, it's over $2 if you want to play 220 just for the Dodgers to win. But then you look at that run line, you go minus $1.30. Would that be the way you'd attack it for LA?
I usually don't like to lay a lot of run lines in baseball. Sometimes I take them, especially with an underdog when the total is getting bet to the under, like when it goes from 7.5 to 7, because I think that just gives you that much value, more valuable taking that half run. Price has gone in the favor of the Nationals here because Mookie Betts is not expected to be in the starting lineup, but we know the Dodgers have plenty of depth. It is Walker Buehler against Josiah Gray. Washington, their pitching woes continue. Adon last night got hit around. Patrick Corbin, even though he was decent over the weekend, finally. The Nats, trouble time for the Nats. I'm looking at 14-29. Oh, I knew that they were not very good, but they're almost approaching Cincinnati Reds territory. Cincinnati is only two games back in the win column from not being the worst record in Major League Baseball. So that's at least a small victory for the Natty.
Yeah, they've gotten off the deck a little bit here and played better baseball. I don't know if it's coincidental. That's when Sean King said he might think about taking them as a long shot to come back and win.
Sean King is burning that money with one of his great cigars that he likes to smoke.
Fantastic cigars. Certainly want to thank Will Hill, Brian Ortega, Wes Reynolds. Always enjoy the conversation, my friend. Don't go anywhere. We got you covered all afternoon and evening long right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.